right, it is good to see everyone today on this 25th day of August 2019. We are continuing our study on Romans 8, 28, The Promise, based on a book I am rereading by Robert J. Morgan, who pastors just a little bit north of here in Nashville, Tennessee. The book is entitled The Promise, and it is all about Romans 8, 28. And today, the title of today's message is All Means All to God. All means all. And you know, I could have said that. And that could have been the title, All Means All. But what I want you to understand is all means all to God. It doesn't always mean all to me. Because sometimes as I'm reading these scriptures, it's almost like I'm not including all in all. And so we're going to look at that today as we study God's Word. Romans 8, 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as I call on You today, I ask for forgiveness, a daily sin and weekly sin that I confess to You in the prayer closet. Not only the sins I commit or think or say or do, but my sins of omission, when I'm not praying like I should or having my devotion time like I should. Father, the study and preparation time is a given. But Father, sometimes I neglect building myself up spiritually, which is my responsibility to seek You. And so, Father, as I confess these things, I ask for forgiveness of sin, and I pray to be cleansed by Your blood. And by Your stripes, we are healed. Father, we praise You. Holy Spirit, take over. Father, I'm just a man. I pray that Your Holy Spirit will take over and You will speak to hearts and minds as we look at these scriptures, Your truths. And in the quietness of this moment, what do I need to hear from You today? Lord Jesus, I want to thank You that You take care of us all. There's that word again, Lord, all. And You take care of all things. We give them to You, Lord Jesus. Amen. All right, here we go. Romans 8, 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And as I told you 2 weeks ago, a lot of folks will say, "Oh, Brother Leo, I know all things work together for good." No, my friend, that's not just what the verse says. Number one, this is a conditional promise. All things work together for good to them that love God and who are the called according to His purpose. So, number one, this only works in the life of a born-again child of God who is indwelt by the Holy Spirit. So this promise can be claimed by a Christian. But secondly, it can only be claimed by a Christian who, number one, all things work together for good to them that love God. Number one, to a Christian who is serious about pursuing and deepening his love obedience relationship with Christ. Amen. And what do you mean by that, Brother Leo? You mean if I love God, I will obey Him? Yeah, that's what the scripture says. If you love Me, you'll keep My commandments. When we love someone, we want to please them. We want to do for them. We want to do the things they want us to do. So you want to deepen that love relationship. You want to be growing in your obedience and making a commitment to that. And secondly, according those who are called according to His purpose. And then we see in verse 29 that the purpose is to be conformed to the image of His Son. So, secondly, I want to take serious my commitment to being conformed to the image of His Son. I want to think like Jesus. I want to act like Jesus. I want to do what Jesus would do in this situation. I want to love like Jesus. I want to forgive like Jesus. So I want to take seriously my commitment to allowing the Holy Spirit to do a work in my life where I am growing in my love for Jesus, my obedience to Jesus, and I am growing in my conformation of being remade in the image of God. So my friend, I need to tell him, I'm going to tell him right now, I love you, Lord Jesus. I love you, Lord Jesus, for loving me first, for all you do for me. And Father, help me work hard to be conformed to your image. Then last week, we looked at how God's providence is the foundation of this verse. That God's providence is the foundation of this verse. That God is in control. That God has a plan. That He's working situations, circumstances, people, opening doors, closing doors. We need to look for God's all-powerful, invisible hand at work in our lives. So when you can claim this promise, and not every Christian can claim this promise, there are Christians who are in willful disobedience unto God. And they're living a life of willful disobedience and they know it. You can't claim all things are working together for good. Now, if you'll confess your sin and come to God and change your life, He'll turn those things around. But today, we want to look at one word. And that word is all. So go with me to Romans 8:28. And the scripture says, and we know that all things work together for good. All things. Now, I want you to understand, all means all to God. All in the Greek means a totality. A totality. Nothing's being left out. All inclusive. No exceptions. All encompassing. So I want you to think about this for a moment, my friend. All things are working together for good to those that are diligently living within the will of God. So what does that mean? That means the good things. That means the things that don't feel good. That means the bad things. That means when I'm treated unfairly, that when I'm treated unjustly, when people are being mean to me, when things aren't going my way, in sickness and in health, in richness and in poverty, all things are working together for good. Go with me again to Genesis 45. And in Genesis 45, we see Joseph, and I want to read his words again like I did last week. In Genesis 45, he reveals himself to his brothers. Now, his brothers did him wrong. His brothers beat him up, threw him in a pit, sold him into slavery. Potiphar's wife did him wrong. She accused him of attacking her sexually, and he didn't do it. Matter of fact, he ran away, but she ripped his robe off and used it as evidence against him, so he was in prison unjustly. Now, when he reveals himself unto his brothers think he's going to have us put in prison because now he is a high-ranking Egyptian official. And in verse 3, Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Is my father alive? And his brethren were scared to answer him, and they were troubled that it was him. And Joseph said to his brothers, come near to me, I pray you. He said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into slavery in Egypt. Now therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves. You sold me into slavery. But the bottom line was, God was sending me before you to preserve your life. God was sending me before you to preserve your life. For these 2 years the famine's been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in which there shall be no harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you, to save you in posterity, to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now I want you to understand, it was not you that sent me here, but God sent me here, and He has made me a ruler in the land of Egypt. Now, I want you to understand, my friend, that God can make all things, even the bad things, even the things that seem bad, they can be used and employed by God for our ultimate goal. We think people are doing horrible things to us, like Joseph thought. We think we're being treated unfairly. We think we're getting a raw deal. But God is in control, and behind what all these people are doing, there is God's hand, and He is moving you where He wants you to go. Amen. Now, you got to be in God's will to be able to claim this. You know, folks a lot of times say, I just want to get saved, and that's good enough for me. My friend, that shouldn't be good enough for you, because I want you to understand God's got a beautiful plan. He's got it for your life. He wants to bless you. He wants to use you for the furtherance of His kingdom. And I want you and me and all of us to work real hard at growing in our love, obedience, relationship to God, and growing and deepening in being conformed to His image. Now, go back with me to Romans 8:32. Romans 8:32, all means all to God. I'll reread to you Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Now, Pastor Robert Morgan says this in his book. He says that all is used 5,675 times in the Bible. All is used 5,675 times in the Bible. All is one of God's favorite words. All is used 5,675 times in the Bible. Now, for your homework assignment this week, before you come back, I want you to look up all 5,675 uses of the word all. And I want you to understand, it's not that difficult, because in some verses, all is used three times. In a few verses, it's used five times. So if you start this afternoon, by next Sunday, you ought to have about 1,000 of these references looked up. But I want you to see just how important all is to God. Now, I just read Romans 8:28. Go with me to Romans 8:32. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, shall He not with Him also freely give us all things so that we can grow spiritually? Here's the promise to God, and I want you to understand something. All means all to God, Lehman. So whatever you need to grow spiritually, the Word says, God has given us all things. Go with me to Romans 8:35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Verse 37, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loves us. You ever got up one morning and said, boy, this thing's really whipping me. This thing's really kicking my backside. This thing's really putting me through the wringer. Well, I want you to understand something. All means all to God. And God's saying, in all things, you ought to be more than a conqueror. And He doesn't allow anything to come into our life to defeat us. He allows stuff to come into our life for us to get victory over it. He doesn't allow anything to come into our life to weaken us. He allows things to come into our life to make us stronger. So we've got to understand God's perspective on all. It is a huge word in the Bible. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And the reason I keep saying that all means all to God is because a lot of times in my life, all doesn't seem to mean all to me. You know, there are times I'll say to the Lord, Lord, I don't think we're going to get through this. Lord, I don't think I can handle this. And the Lord's saying, Leo, I've done told you all. You know, I want you to see your life in the parentheses of this verse. I want you to see one parenthesis and it says A-L-L. And then I want you to look at this parenthesis and it says A-L-L. And in between those two things are every person, every event, every happening, every occurrence, every good thing, every bad thing, every door opening, every door closing, every situation in your life is encompassed by the all of God. And man, that is good news. And God is working it together for good. 2 Corinthians 9:8 says this, God is able to make all grace, all help, all assistance abound toward you, that you will always have all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As you're doing your homework, go ahead and subtract 3 now. I just used it 3 times. So now you're down to 5,672 words you need to look up. But what I want you to understand here, look at what he says. God is all sufficient. God is all grace. Look at verse 11. Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving unto God. God's going to make all grace abound to you. You know, where sin abounds, guess what? Grace abounds a whole lot more. Where sickness abounds, grace abounds a whole lot more. Where indecision abounds, grace abounds a whole lot more. God is giving all grace, all help, whatever you need. It will never, ever, ever run out. Go with me to Colossians chapter 3. Go with me to Colossians chapter 3. See, I'm giving you a good start on your homework. And Pastor Morgan did this. He did a list of verses and all. And so I looked up all, and I mean, I had to call out verses that are just powerful, powerful verses that include the word all. Romans 8:28, all is the biggest word in there. And you need to live within this promise. Colossians chapter 3, verse 10 says this. And we have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian or Scythian, bond person or free person, but Christ is all and Christ is in all. I want you to understand something. Christ is my all in all. I've got one thing to say. The bottom line is there's only one separation between all of humanity. Either Christ is in you or Christ is not in you. It doesn't matter what kind of religious label you read, or you wear, what you call yourself. You know, the bottom line is you're either a born-again child of God indwelt by His Holy Spirit, or you're not. And so that's why that scripture says, you're not a Greek, you're not a Jew, you're not circumcision, uncircumcision, you're not an American, you're not a European, you're not a Baptist, you're not a Methodist. The bottom line is Christ is all. And Christ is in all. So if Christ is in you, Christ is all. Christ is the one you need to glorify. You don't need another label. You don't need another religious name. You don't need to tell anybody how good your church is. You need to tell folks how good your Savior is. You don't have to tell folks how good your religion is. You tell folks how good your Savior is. You don't tell folks how good your preacher is. You tell folks how good your Savior is. Christ is all in all in all. And that's what's happened in our culture. We have taken away from Christ and we've given unto man. And we promote, we got a bunch of great programs. Well, I've got only one great, and His name is Jesus. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with having these things, but don't let them supersede Christ. I don't want to tell anybody how good I am. It's not for me to tell folks how good I am. I'm tell folks how good Christ is. So when it says Christ is all in all, it means He's our all-encompassing. You know, He is our everything. He is our only source. He is the one that we go to. And you know, a lot of times, and I know it's a good door opener, and it's a good way to maybe witness to somebody, but a lot of times folks will want to know where somebody goes to church. Say, where do you go to church? Or then I'll hear a lot of folks say to me, Brother Leo, we've just got to get our family in church. Well, I know what you actually mean, but the bottom line is this. The most important question you can ask somebody is, where do they stand in their relationship with Jesus Christ? Whether they have one or not. And I know you want to get them in church to hear the word and all the things that can result about that, but the most important thing is to get somebody in Christ. And so often we lose that. And we lose the priority that Christ is all in all. He is our everything, and He is the label that we are to apply to ourselves. Go with me to Ephesians 1. Ephesians chapter 1. And I want you to get this mindset about all. I want you to get this godly, divine understanding of all. Because when we plug it back into Romans 8:28, tomorrow morning if something happens, I want you to say this verse. God's going to work this for my good. All things are working for my good. I'm going to learn from this. I'm going to grow from this. In Ephesians 1 verse 19, it says that Paul is praying that we know the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power in us and on us, the same power which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. Do you ever say that back to God? I say that back to God all the time. I say, Lord Jesus, Your resurrection power is living in me. Every time I pray for a healing on myself, I'm saying, Lord, I know You totally heal me because the resurrection power of Jesus Christ is in me. You can resurrect any organ that's not doing good. You can resurrect my intestines. You can resurrect every... You can make, renew, recover, replenish. The resurrection power of Jesus Christ lives in you. You know, and that's the power of the Holy Spirit. He can resurrect your mind. He can heal you in so many ways. If Jesus was risen from the dead, when He carried all that He carried to the grave, that resurrection power can work in your life. When He raised Him from the dead, set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all. Would you say that with me? All. Say it again. All. Far above all principality and all power and all might and all dominion. Far above every name that is named, not only in this world, but in the world to come, and hath put all, would you say that with me? All, say it again, all, hath put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be the head over all, say it again, all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that fills all in all. Now, do you not think all is a favorite word of God? Goodness. Now, look at what He's saying there. He's saying all things are under the authority of my God, my personal Lord and Savior. He is the head and the authority over all things. He fills all in all with His Spirit. I want you to understand, my friend, I can never, never, never outget the Holy Spirit of God. He can give me more and more and filling and filling and filling. And that ought to be your goal. I want to experience the Holy Spirit more next week than I've ever experienced Him in my life. He fills all in all. So we see here that He has rule and authority over all. That's God's sovereignty. You know, last week we looked at God's providence, and I gave you the vine's definition. And then I gave you the short one. And the short one was, God has a plan and God is in control. Well, when you study about God's sovereignty, where He is above all principality, power, might, and dominion, and all things are under His feet, and He is the head over all things in the church, I want you to understand that speaks to God's sovereignty, and that means God is on His throne and God rules. God is on his throne and God rules. God is in control and God has a plan. Romans 8:28 are built on those two doctrines, the providence of God and the sovereignty of God. And we've got to understand that so we don't have to fear man. And I want you to understand something else, and this is just my personal thing, verse 22. And hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. I pray that to God every morning. When I wake up in the morning, I praise the good Lord that he is the King of kings and Lord of lords. And I say, Lord, you are the creator of the universe. You are the savior of all mankind. You are the Messiah of Israel. And then I quote that. I say, Lord, you are the head and the authority over the church. And I am part of the church, Lord. I am part of the blood-bought redeemed. Father, you have purchased me with your own blood. I do not belong to myself. I belong to you. You are my authority, my Lord, my ruler. And so, Father, I offer myself to you today. I need your authority, your guidance, and your leadership. My life is not my own. And then I take it to Paul's writing in Corinthians. I say, Lord, my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. You have indwelt me, and again, Lord, you have purchased me with your own blood. And that's my prayer commitment every morning to the Lord when I wake up. And I'm telling you, my friend, as you read the scriptures, you let the Holy Spirit lead you to your own personal prayers to God and your own personal praises to God. And whatever it is, it'll get your mindset set in the direction spiritually that it needs to be in before you proceed in your day. And I'll tell you something, Romans 8:28 is a good verse to add to a morning prayer. All things today, my Lord Jesus. Go with me to Philippians 4:19. You know the verse, but we're going to read. All means all to God. And you know, that's the prayer I've started. Lord, I know all means all to you. Father, help all mean all to me. Father, help all mean all to me. Because sometimes I think, boy, this can't be included in the promise. But it is. Now look at what he says. Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Is that not wonderful? My God's going to supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now, what if that verse had said some of your need? My God will supply some of your need. My God shall supply 90% of your need. My God shall supply 99% of your need. Even if he said 99%, you know what I'd do? I'd be worrying about that 1%. Every time something came up, I'd say, wow, is this the 1%? Is this the 5%? So guess what? Since he said all, I don't have to worry about any of it. Well, now, Brother Leo, sometimes it gets kind of tight, and sometimes this is going on and that's going on. Well, my friend, I guess all don't mean all to you. It means all to God, but I guess it doesn't mean all to you. If you're fretting and worrying and tore up, maybe you think that verse says God shall supply 95% of your need, but it does not say that. It says all. I want you to understand something about the character of God. The character of God is an all God. He is an all-in God. He is an all-commitment God. He didn't just let him nail him to a cross and let his hands bleed and then 5 minutes later come on down and say, that's going to take care of our sin. He gave his whole life and shed his blood in suffering so that we could be saved. So you've got an all-in God. And all means all to God. Go into 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. You're actually, I think, seeing about 32 alls in this sermon. So that knocks you down to 5,742. And so that you can have credit, just get a yellow notebook and write the verses down for me. Sign your name and put them right here. You know, I think I'd have been a good teacher. Don't y'all think? My class would have never known if Brother Leo was serious. See, Jeremy, and then you'd have the good students. They'd go home and do it. And then they'd get mad. All right. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things. Boy, this is a great verse. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto a successful, victorious spiritual life and a godly life through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. I want you to understand something, my friend. We have been given everything we need by God, by the indwelling of His Spirit. This is for Christians to find victory over every sin in our life. Is that not wonderful? So that we can live the divine nature of God and live in all godliness. All means all. Now, I want you to think about a certain sin you've been committing for the last 20 years. Or a certain situation that throws you into sin for the last 20 years. It might be a fear. It might be an anxiety. Anything that is not a faith is sin. Yes. So what situations in your life may not be a faith? What situations in your life may not be obedient? What temptations in your life may be easy for you to fall into? Well, I want you to take this promise, claim this promise, and say to your own carnal self, you know, Leo, I don't have to fall into this sin anymore. God's word says He's given me all things to make me victorious in this area and to live a godly life. And you claim it. All means all to God. I want all to mean all to me. And so that's what he's saying. They go to 1 John chapter 1. Verse John chapter 1 verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Verse 7. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, is that not wonderful? I'm sure thankful that verse doesn't say 90%. 95% or 99%. I can be cleansed of all. When I come into this pulpit every Sunday morning, it is my attempt to be cleansed of all my sins that I can acknowledge before God. I mean, I start putting forth the effort on Saturday. It lingers into Saturday night. It goes into Sunday morning. I want you to understand something, my friend. I praise God that you and I can have this goal as a child of God to walk in our daily life feeling that we are right now at this moment cleansed of all our sin. Now that's wonderful. But this promise is conditional. Look at what it says in verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if I'm going to be cleansed, if we confess all our sins. So what I want you to understand, my dear friend, what this verse is saying is all my sin is cleansed by the blood of Jesus. All my sins was nailed to His cross. All my sins were carried by His body. But the bottom line is, I must make a sincere attempt to confess all my sin. All means all. Now, I want you to understand. There are some folks that are involved in sin, and they run from God with it. And they feel like, if I don't say anything to Him about it, maybe it's not there. Or if I don't acknowledge it, maybe it's not as bad. My friend, that's the absolute worst thing you can do. God knows it's there. You know it's there. And the first step to getting freedom and victory over it, say, Brother Leo, I don't want freedom and victory over it. I enjoy it. I like it. I've been doing it all my life. This is the way I am. Well, my friend, I'm still going to encourage you to start confessing it. Because the more you confess it and speak it out loud to God, and then you acknowledge, God, you are right and I am wrong. The more you say that, my friend, you will build up a strength within your spirit so that the Lord will grow you to see that it is filth, that it is unrighteousness, that it is holding you back, that it is taking away from your life, and that it is a burden, and that it is grievous. And once you see that, the Holy Spirit will be able to break its hold on you. But I want you to understand, I praise God that He is telling me right here, I will forgive and cleanse you of all your sin. I mean, there's a forgiveness is one thing. Cleansing is a feeling. Cleansing is a spiritual feeling. When you feel cleansed of your sin. And I want you to understand that it's something that we need to feel daily. And we need to make that. So that's our part in one of the alls, okay? We've been saying God's going to give us all peace. God's going to give us all joy. God's going to give us all knowledge. God's going to give us all the things we need. Well, one of the things I need to do is confess all my sin. But let me show you another thing I need to do. Go to 1 Peter chapter 5. First Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Many of you know it. Cast all your care upon Jesus, because He cares for you. Cast all your care upon Jesus, because He cares for you. All means all to God. Isn't that wonderful? He wants everything you worry about cast on Him. He wants every anxiety you got cast on Him. He wants the smallest one to the biggest one. Something bothering you at work? He wants you to give it to Him. Something bothering you about your family? He wants you to give it to you. Something bothering you about your personal life? He wants you to give it to Him. My friend, all means all to God. And I'm glad this doesn't say 90%. And I want to say to you again, how many things are we carrying and we've not given them over to God? Man, driving home, we left Friday afternoon. Almost got wiped out by a storm in Augusta, Georgia. Could not see. Lightning's crashing everywhere. Hail is everywhere. Just gone through Atlanta where the folks got hit at the golf tournament. You know, check in. Get up Saturday morning. 1 o'clock, we're coming down Middle Butler from Florence. I said, Patty, call Dad. And the first thing Dad says is, when are y'all coming back? Patty goes, your dad wants to know when we're coming back. I said, Patty, would you tell him we haven't got home yet? And I'm exhausted. And we dropped the call. So I'm tore up, man. I'm driving the next 10 miles. I am tore up. I said, what are we going to do? We can't do this. I am worn out. Mona can't feed my cats once every month for 7, 5, 6 days. So she calls him back. And he said, when are y'all coming back? And Patty said, Dad, we don't know when we're coming back. We got to do a wedding in Dallas and we got a cruise coming up in October. We don't know when we're coming back. He goes, you didn't fix me any pies. He was kidding. I got all tore up and he's trying to be funny. See how the devil does? You know, I'm coming home. I'm thinking about my sermon. And I'm saying, is he serious? He wants to know when we're coming back. I'm going crazy. And you know what the Lord's saying? Leo, I don't know what the future holds for your daddy, for you, for Patty. You know, you don't know, but I know. And why don't you just take the future and give it to me? And I hadn't done that yet, so y'all pray for me. I got up this morning, Pat goes, what's wrong? I said, man, I got stuff on my mind, Pat. But you know, we take those things. And you know what God's saying to us here? He's saying, Leo, now Leo, cast all your care upon me. And then you know what's so beautiful about that? Because I care about you. Would you read that second half with me? Because I care about you. I mean, you know what Leo's doing when he's worrying about the future? I'm acting like God don't care about me. Well, let me tell you something. God cares about me. Cares about me so much he died for me. He gave his life for me. He still cares for me. So every time we're carrying a burden, we're acting like God doesn't care about us. God doesn't care about our loved one. God's not going to take care of it. God's not in control. And all things aren't working together for good to them that love God and are the called according to His purpose. So cast all your care upon God. And then finally, if you want a simple life, go to Colossians chapter 3. This simplifies everything in life. If you ever wonder about which way to go, this takes care of it. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. And whatever you do in word or deed, all right? Whatever you do in word or deed, whatever you speak and whatever you do action-wise, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. There are two other verses similar to this one. And they say, do all for the glory of God. Whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. So anytime you're doing something, say, does this glorify God? Is this the thing God wants me to do? Am I doing this in the name of Jesus? But notice what it says. It says, do all. Everything you do, do all in the name of Jesus and for the glory of God. I want you to understand something. He's not just an all-in God. We are a bunch of all-in Christians. Christianity is not just going to church for 2 hours on a Sunday morning. But a lot of people view it that way. A lot of people view it that way. Christianity is not just doing some things under the authority of God. It's doing all things under the authority of God. I want you to understand something. God is Lord over everything. He is Lord over the way you raise your children. He's Lord over the way you love people. His authority is over the way you're to forgive. He's the Lord over your business, your finances, your job, your hobbies. Everything you do, if you're involved in something that takes away from the glory of God and doesn't give to the glory of God, I get out of it. It's like Moses said. When he said, Lord, I'm scared to death. And the Lord said, look, Moses, I'll go before you. And the Lord and Moses said to the Lord, well, if you're not there, I don't want to go. If you're not there, I don't want to go. If you're not in this, I don't want to be a part of it. If this doesn't bring glory to you, I don't want to be a part of it. And so we compromise our all-in God by our part-time Christianity. And we make excuses for it. Well, it's just this one little thing. Okay, that's fine. Admit unto God, all doesn't mean all to you. Well, 8 things in my life I've got under the authority of God, but these, well, that's fine, but go ahead and admit to Him, all does not mean all. Because all means all to God. He shed all His blood so I could be saved. He gave all of His life so I could be saved. He gave all of his sacrifice so that I could be saved. And he promises to give me all things that I need in this life. Physical, spiritually, everything. And he promises to carry all of my burdens if I'll give them to him. So all means all to God. Let's close out with Romans 8:28. Romans 8:28, and we know, we're going to have to study that. The title of that message might be, what do we know? We say we know things, but do we really know them? And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. It doesn't say all things feel good. It doesn't say all things seem good. So when you're going through something that doesn't feel good, when you're going through a hardship, when you're going through a difficult time, you reach up and you grab your loving Lord Jesus with your heart and you say, Lord Jesus, I know you're working this together for good. I know you're going to bring good out of it because, Father, I'm going to keep deepening my commitment to you. I'm going to keep loving you. I'm going to keep obeying you. I'm going to keep taking seriously to be conformed to your image. And, Lord, this is hard. This is difficult. But, Lord, I'm praying right now that I'm going to see the day where you have worked all this for your good, for your glory. I will be blessed. The latter end of Job was blessed much more than his former. And Lord, all these things are working together for my good and for your glory. Claim these promises. Live these promises. Wrap up every circumstance you've got in Romans 8:28. Just wrap it up in there and put it there. God may be trying to teach you something. God may be trying you. He may be strengthening your faith. He may be trying to reveal something to you about yourself. But whatever it is, it's good. It's good. It's good. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. And I'm going to ask you to take a few moments and apply this verse to one situation in your life. And whatever that situation is, I want you to ask Jesus, say, Lord Jesus, I'm going to take my illness right now and I'm going to put it in your hands. And I know that you are working it together for good, for me and for your glory. I'm going to take this situation at work and Father, I'm putting it in Romans 8:28 right now and I know you're going to work it for good. I'm going to take this situation in this relationship, Lord, and I'm going to put it in Romans 8:28, and I'm going to ask you to keep working it for your good and keep me, Lord. Keep me, Lord, searching for your invisible hand. I know you're at work. Would you take a few moments and pray that to Jesus?